Hey, welcome back to the Song Capture Podcast. My name is Chris Clayton. I'm your host, and I'm excited you're with us. If you're brand new with us, welcome. Glad you found us. On today's show, we have an amazing, unique format. At the very beginning of this season, I told you that we would be highlighting some bonus episodes that are centered around resources for you, the songwriter. So that's what we're going to highlight today is one of those resources. On today's show, we have Holly Salazar. Holly is an amazing songwriter here in Nashville, but she also brings to the table over a decade's worth of experience in music publishing, song administration, music licensing, and the like. And so I'm excited today we're going to be able to unpack what all this means, from copyrights to performing rights organizations to mechanical royalties and licenses, etc. It's going to be an amazing episode. Holly also has a brand new course that we're going to talk about called the Writing Worship Song Administration Course, an amazing course that you need to check out for more information, more insight on this whole idea of song administration. Let me remind you to go over to mysongcapture.com. That's mysongcapture.com. Again, we're a demo production service for the worship writer. And so if you have a song that you would love to be demoed out that you've just written, maybe you're a worship pastor who would love to have a tangible form of a song to show your worship team to play on a Sunday. Again, that's why we do this. That's why we're here. Use the promo code TAKE10. That's T-A-K-E, the number 10, and you'll save 10% off your very first demo. All right, let's get into the episode. Grab a pen, grab some paper, a lot of information. Here's my interview with Holly Salazar. Hey, Holly, how you doing?
Hey, Chris.
So glad you're here to hang out with us for a little bit. I'm excited about this course you have coming out. But before we get into that, I think people need to know you a little bit because it's weird because we live in the same town. We've been at some songwriting like boot camps together, but we've never written a song together, which is kind of a shame in itself. But we'll write that very soon and fix that wrong. But you've got an amazing reputation around town of being an incredible songwriter. If you don't know Holly, I'll brag on her a little bit. She's got 12 years of experience in this town doing everything from music publishing to song administration, licensing, and songwriting, and got a ton of cuts with Christian and country and pop and film and TV, which is a whole other thing we should talk about at another time because that's a whole other podcast. But what I love about you, Holly, and a little bit I know about you is that you love the church and you love writing songs about Jesus. And no matter the genre that you write about, you still have to understand the business side of the songwriting game, if you will. And so this resource she's put out is amazing. So Holly, tell me a little about you, your background, and how you kind of got to where you are today.
Gosh, I don't know how to follow that intro. That's awesome.
Just follow it as best you can.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so really just moved to Nashville at 18, just wanted to be a famous country writer. Like everyone that moves to town, you just want to, be known for your writing or as an artist, I think. And went to Tribeca Nazarene University, have a music business degree from them, a management degree from them. But really, about 3 weeks after I moved to town, I started interning at Major Bob Music, which, at the time, Garth Brooks was the main artist, and he was making his comeback tour. So there was all hands on deck. It was a very small publisher, really just dove in. And I ended up staying almost 2 years with them all throughout. I'd go to class in the morning, and at 10 a.m. I'd go start working for Garth. And it was anything from looking over contracts or registering songs, registering copyrights, helping with tour. There'd be people coming in right and left, just recording, shooting TV promo. So yeah, anything with Garth, I did for 2 years, and it was awesome. Learned so much admin, a lot of A&R. So went from, working in that publishing company to another publishing company. It was more of a publishing company / 360 label. We had Point of Grace. Mm. So that was kind of my first take on Christian was when they signed Point of Grace and working with them. I had never, I'd served in church for years and grew up leading worship even as a kid through high school and church, but I'd never really worked in Christian and didn't really know what that entailed. But graduated college, went to work for BMI, spent 8 years working for BMI. Along the way, also did some businesses of my own. I had a publishing company of my own, helping out, other pop and TV film artist. I worked a lot with a Christian comedian and kind of alongside a tour with Jen Hatmaker and Oprah. Yeah. Really worked behind the scenes, kind of building them a label to release music. So that kind of led me into private music consulting over the past few years as well. So a lot of business, but also creative. You know, I never really got to write when I first started, you know, in Nashville. I just kind of jumped into the admin side, really felt the Lord was saying, hey, do this for a while, I need you to learn the business, and I will bring the writing back. And I didn't really know what that meant, so I kept trying to write and work and go to school, and he really kind of took the writing part away. Like, I had publishing offers for country deals, and kind of overnight, it was like they disappeared and nobody knew who I was all of a sudden. And
wow.
It really, it's kind of like disappointing to where you would almost get jaded, but really just kind of helped me dive into the admin side further with that when he kind of stripped that away. So I didn't write for the first 7 years I moved to Nashville, and which was crazy because that's why I moved here. But really the last 4 years just kind of picked up writing. The church I was going to at the time wanted to make their own album. You know, it's the thing right now.
Yep.
Write and produce and release their own live album. And they knew I worked in the music industry, and they said, hey, you're the only person who knows what they're doing here. We've never done this. Do you mind writing for it? I'd never written a Christian song in my life. Like, I wrote country and pop, so it was new to me. I thought they were crazy. I avoided it for a solid month.
Yeah.
Then, you know, dove in, and the rest is history. I mean, writing and doing an album, creating a label for that church led to multiple churches in the area. And now 4 years later, it's just writing with the global church,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's big C or little C, you know? And then it's almost like I picked up where I left off. You know, he just kind of kicked the door down and opened that back up. And now I have TV film deals and write with certain publishers, have deals with them. So
Right. Yeah,
still spend a lot of time. My day's about 50% admin, 50% writing. You know, almost every day, it's the morning is admin, afternoon is a write, which is awesome. And it's what I love. So
that's great.
Yeah. Awesome. Just kind of all led to this course. Mm-hmm. Really in the last probably 4 or 5 months, we've just spent, I think it took us about 2 to 3 months to work on this course.
Wow.
But you know, it's just 12 years of gathering information and hearing questions, whether it's in the writing room or from artists on tour, from friends messaging me, hey, what do I do? How do I register the song? Like, we have a cut. What do I do with that? I'm not signed, or even signed friends.
Sure.
There's a lot to just learn and know in the industry, and it's changing so much. I mean, 12 years ago, streaming was new. Spotify, I don't know if Spotify actually was a thing when I moved to Nashville. Yeah,
no.
Here we are.
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think, the value of this course and this resource is massive for whether you are a signed songwriter or an independent songwriter who has been writing independently for decades, or, you know, you're brand new to the songwriting journey, no matter what it is. My firm belief is, as a songwriter, it's more than just pen, paper, and melody. You have to have the knowledge of the business side of songwriting, because, you know, without knowledge, so many things can happen. And, you know, there's so many great people in this. I'll just speak for Nashville. There's so many great people in Nashville who are for championing songwriters and for championing people. But you still have to look out for yourself in many ways of just going, I need to know the process of the PRO process, the copywriting process, the you know, all that stuff that happens. And so, like you, I get a lot of questions as a producer and people who write with me going, okay, we got this song and I want to cut it, but what do I do with it from an admin side of things? So, all that to say, it is important for people who are listening to this. If you're a songwriter, obviously that's why you're listening to this podcast, that to learn the side of it that people don't want to necessarily always talk about it, and that's the administration, the business side of it, because there are ones and zeros of numbers and relationships that go along with this. And even like for me, you know, being signed to BEC, a lot of this stuff I just hand off to them and they take care of a lot of this for me. But it's still important for me to know what they're doing even though they handle that. And so in this course, you talk about PROs, which, you know, performing rights organizations, so ESAC and BMI and ASCAP here in the States, and every country's got their own. And you talk about copywriting and distribution and sound exchange, which is a whole nother animal, which I love you to talk about. royalties and things like that. So you cover the, really a wide spectrum of what song administration looks like in this course. I'd love for you to just talk about a few of those, just to kind of give people maybe a little bit of a teaser, because I definitely want them to go get this course. There's a lot of talk, especially sometimes that I see, whether it's online or conversations I have with young songwriters, going, "Hey, how do I sell my song? Do you really sell your song, or do you more license your song? What does that mean?"
I think it depends if you're a singer-songwriter that does the artist end, or if you're a singer-songwriter that's more just a songwriter.
Sure.
You know, you can take the word sell, I think, two different ways, like sell as in for download, for purchase, through distribution on a platform like iTunes or Amazon Music. You know, selling a song on the songwriter end is, I think a lot of people say, "I want to sell my song," and that means get it plugged with someone, get a cut out of the song. And in that case, you definitely have to go through all the steps. You know, you need to have a PRO. If you're selling the song, so to speak, and it's coming out, you need a copyright on that song, especially if it's a very large artist and you know it's going to have thousands of streams and downloads and maybe go on a tour.
Right.
And then, you know, it kind of comes up on the sound exchange side. You know, if it's on that tour, if it's coming out, Sirius Satellite Radio picks it up, you want to have the sound exchange on the back end. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think young writers, you know, when I was a newer writer, 18, 19, I couldn't wait to sell my songs. And I realized in order to do that, I needed to partner up with a song plugger or find a publisher that I could connect with, or actually write in the room with a producer and an artist who, you know, they're cutting, you're writing for their project.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. And maybe that leads me to the next question. So co-writing is such a big deal. Like, so that's, and rightly so. I mean, we both write songs, and I can't tell you the last time I actually wrote a whole song by myself. So we've talked about that a lot on the podcast, of just the value of co-writing. And most every guest that I have, songwriting guest that I have on the show, they talk about, you know, the song that we tell the story of, it's always come out of a relationship with at least one other co-writer. So, but I think there may be a breakdown in indie artists understanding how co-writing and then the business side of, like, the licensing side of it works. And so, one, I guess maybe their understanding of the need to license a song when they record it, and two, like, how what that means in licensing songs with their other writers, and they don't even know how to do that, or they don't even know to do that. So, because this is how songwriters make their money, is through you know, make their living, is through license. It's one of the streams of income, is through licensing. So talk about the importance, even as indie songwriters, of understanding what it means to honor the other songwriters by licensing their part of it.
Yeah. So, you know, I think step one with the licensing really goes into your performance rights organization. Like, if you're a writer and you're co-writing, you need to be registered and affiliated with a PRO, BMI, ASCAP, or CSAC, again, in the U.S. So, you know, I write a song, I'm a BMI affiliate. So if you and I are writing a song, I'm going to go into my BMI account and I'm going to register that song. Especially if it's being played live, even if I'm playing it live in a restaurant or a writer's round, technically there's a license involved in playing it live. Even in a small room of 50 people, there's now a license on that registered song, because you have restaurants, bars, all these people paying in for blanket licensing every year. And that blanket license really covers your live performance. Even if you go into a Macy's store, mm-hmm. there's really a license on that song, that pop song in Macy's, in the dressing room. There's a license on that song everywhere you go. There should be. If there's not, that's a whole other issue with the establishment. Because if they're playing any music whatsoever, all the writers and publishers should be paid for it.
Right.
So I think, you know,
and just clarify, you're talking about, like, the restaurant or in the store, they've purchase that license. It's not, you're not saying the songwriters have to go purchase those licenses to be able to use those songs. It's those people are paying a license to use those songs.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all paying into the PROs. Mm-hmm. They're all paying for that blanket license, and that blanket license covers the song in your catalog. Now, if you're not registering the song, you're not going to get paid for that. You need to make sure, you know, as a writer, or, you know, especially as a publisher, you're putting those songs in your catalog as they come and really taking the time to organize and admin that. So you do receive those royalties. Again, you know, with licensing, you know, that blanket licensing and PROs is kind of just step one. Then you have, like, if you're in Christian music, any worship, CCM, that's CCLI.
Yeah.
CCLI is completely different from a PRO. And, you know, they don't really touch. They have nothing to do with the other affiliation. So definitely, you know, if you're a church or you're writing songs for multiple churches like we do, mm-hmm. You know, we're constantly working with churches. So it's great to have an account. It's free to sign up as a writer, and you really can just reach out to CCLI directly for this. You need to email them, and it's ip@ccli.com. And you need to just email them and request that you want to affiliate, especially if you're writing with multiple churches, or if your church has multiple songs, your song you wrote is in multiple churches across the U.S. or across the world. You know, in church music, in church world, so to speak, this is all we have to be paid as a writer.
Yeah.
Or as a publisher, you know, for CCLI, the licenses come from churches. So it's like almost like churches are sharing with other churches. You know, as my church pays in to CCLI every year so that we can license songs from Bethel or Hillsong. And, you know, every certain amount of, you know, so basically the license with CCLI is kind of like each church pays a certain amount based on their congregation size and how many songs are being used. And then every 2.5 years, they kind of take a questionnaire as to what was used. And that data is pulled in and kind of organized through CCLI as far as the top songs that have been played each year and how much money they are distributing. So that the more data that comes in, it's easier for writers to be paid based on the data that's coming in. So yeah. It's always important, even as a church, if you don't have writers, make sure that you're logging in those songs because there are writers getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, Christian music is such a small genre compared to pop or country. So it's kind of like take all you can get. Make sure that you're doing your PRO side, but make sure you're with CCLI. And then, you know, kind of on the back end, going into Sound Exchange. Sound Exchange is, again, a different company, but they're licensing songs that are being played on what we call extraterrestrial territories, which is Sirius satellite radio. They pick up Pandora. They also pick up any international, kind of almost like Sirius, but for international companies and international licensing that we may not even know about through our affiliations in the U.S. So there, you know, licensing too can be like, if I'm a publisher, I can join with Harry Fox and have my songs in Harry Fox. And Harry Fox, again, can help license on my behalf and keep track of the admin side for royalties that are coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, licensing is big for us. That licensing means that's what we're getting paid for. This is the hard work that we put in.
Yeah. The difference between organizations like CSAC and BMI and ASCAP and CCLI is that the PROs don't cover church performances. Mm-hmm. So that's why CCLI exists. So people often know why is there a separate thing called CCLI? Because I mean they're filling in the blanks, because correct me if I'm wrong. I mean that's why if you look at your agreement, when you go and put it's for non-religious, you know, organizations. Yeah. If you perform there, you know, those songs don't get credited to your PRO. That's why CCLI exists, to help, you know, compensate those that write for the church.
Right. Yeah. And it's definitely, it's funny when you log into your account, if you're wanting to register a live performance, like if I was doing that with BMI, Mm-hmm. You know, it does ask, is this a religious organization, or is this a birthday party performance? Is this an actual life? Like, it'll give you a list.
Yeah.
And they don't pay for every one of them. So sometimes I'm like, why is that there if you're not going to pay us? Like, right. Why is this an option? But, you know, definitely, you know, CCLI is there for the church side of things, for the worship side of the industry. And before it, you know, we were just singing hymns or other songs that people wrote for each church, or in churches were sharing songs, but nobody was getting paid. So, you know, it's been around for years and it continues to grow and get better and to serve those writers in the local church, yeah, or the global church. So yeah, I mean, I'm thankful for them for sure.
Unpack this a little bit, because I know you're going to talk about royalties in the course and stuff like that, but there's a whole nother license. It's called the mechanical license, which deals with, mm-hmm, when you actually record the song and, you know, distribute it through, you know, digital distribution company, or you actually distribute, you know, what they call CDs. Do you remember CDs? I mean, they still have these things. They're like weird round discs. They're out there. But when you actually record the song, there's still this license of mechanical. Let's say, you know, let's get out of label world for a minute. Let's just say that, you know, me, you, another guy, you know, a girl write a song, and obviously it's an independent project. There's still that step that the artist needs to go and license that song, even though they're not signed to a label. Talk about how they would do that.
Yeah. So when it comes to like mechanical licensing, mechanical royalties, a lot of that entails like distribution. Mm-hmm. So when the song's going to be released, you put it into distribution so it can go out on multiple platforms, whether it's streaming or for download for purchase. In this case, if I were on, you know, iTunes and I wanted to download a song that, say, Mandisa put out, and I wanted to own that song, I'm going to purchase it. It's going to cost me 99 cents or $1.29, whatever the cost. Mm-hmm. And I, as the consumer, buy it. Well, the writers and publishers will then be paid a split of 0.091% of those royalties for that song. So the artist really, or the label, however, you know, the artist and label are splitting. If you're an indie artist, you're not probably paying a label. So really, the rest of the song goes to the artist, but the 0.091 gets split between all writers and publishers. And, you know, it's the artist's job, really, to make sure that that's paid out for the use of that song, for those writers and publishers, for their hard work. And the same with, you know, physical sales of albums. You know, many people don't use CDs. It's almost a thing of the past. But if you do have physical copies of a CD, or vinyl's big right now. It's, mm-hmm, it's making its comeback. So, you know, if your song's on a vinyl album and somebody paid $20 for that, you know, you sold one copy of that album, you still deserve that 0.091%. You know, that you're still entitled to that as a writer, as a publisher. So yeah, I mean, mechanical royalties come really from that. If you're an indie and you don't have like a publisher representing you, and you know that the song is going to be used because you co-wrote it with that artist for that purpose, to be used, to be distributed for the world. I always say, just even having a basic agreement. I mean, you can type out a basic agreement and agree upon it. It doesn't always have to be legal. Mm-hmm. As soon as you sign and date something and it's agreed upon, you know, that's a little bit like it's a sense of legal. You can get a lawyer always. You can have a lawyer make an agreement for you to sign, especially if you're getting a song that's placed with a larger artist. Music publishers, if you're signed, do this for you.
Yeah.
Or admin companies, administrators can do this as well. But you as a writer or publisher in particular need to make sure that you're keeping track of, you know, you're kind of keeping tabs on this artist. You have the song out, keep tabs on it. Don't just forget about it and expect them to pay. A lot of times the artist doesn't know they have to pay, especially new indie artists. They don't know these things.
Right.
Which a lot of the course is not just for writers, but as an indie artist, mm-hmm, there's a lot to pick up in the course as an indie artist, just through this, each step by step. You know, you're picking up on all the things that you need to do to help distribute your music and get it out there, but also make sure that you are taking care of those writers and publishers and you're keeping that relationship strong. I mean, you've been in the industry a long time as well. And I always say, you know, the relationship sometimes is a bigger part than writing the song. You
Absolutely.
Know, you don't want to be known as the person who doesn't pay
right.
for the work that's been done. And you don't want to be known as the person who, you know, just kind of ghost everyone. So, it's just great to know, you know, if you're putting out these songs, either as a writer or an artist, just make sure that you have looked into it. Make sure that everyone's agreeing, so that something doesn't happen with the relationship later.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. You know, I talk to a lot of, you know, obviously indie artists, indie worship leaders, you know, who write, churches as well. In fact, I was on a phone call with a church back in Texas where I'm from, and, you know, they're starting to write songs and it feels mysterious to them. How do we set all this up? You know, I have to say that songwriting administration can feel daunting to the average person. You know, so many questions, you know, so many unknowns. What's the biggest myth about song administration, you think?
I think everyone thinks it's way harder than it is.
Yeah.
I think they assume that it's just something new and involves a lot of accounting, a lot of math. They don't want to think about it. A lot of people put it to the side because it seems like this big, overwhelming monster. And it can, especially some parts of it. Copyrights are probably the most overwhelming for people because it involves like the U.S. government and registering the song, and they don't want to mess it up. But really, a lot of these, you know, companies, a lot of these steps to take, they've considered this when they set up their websites for you to do this. So they've made it as easy as possible for you to do it. You know, if you mess the copyright up, they're going to send you an email and say, hey, we can't process this. This looks a little wonky. What's wrong? Did you really mean this? So I think it's almost like the fear of having to do it or not knowing, can be a little daunting at first. Really, it's, you know, the course, we kind of made it so it's just step by step, you know, step one, PRO. Step two, do you need a copyright? Mm-hmm. And we kind of just made it that way so you'll know my process. Like as an administrator, someone who's been publishing for years, yeah. these are the steps you take one after the other to get to the end of the admin. To get to the royalty payouts, if you're an artist and you're needing to pay mechanical royalties to your writers and publishers. So, I just think that it's overwhelming. I mean, it can't be for sure. If it's, you know, the first time you're doing it for your entire church, you're trying to get everybody registered, trying to get everyone into CCLI. But a lot of things can also be fixed later on the back end. You know, if you've had a song that's been out for 3 years and you're listening to this and you're wondering, wow, this song's been out and there's thousands of streams. Am I too late? I mean, no, you're really not too late. You can always go back in. You can always edit, which is great. You know, there's always someone out there to help you at the other end of BMI or ASCAP right. or CSAC too.
That's their job. They're advocating for the songwriter. I mean, that's what they're there for, is to help, you know, make sure songwriters win and publishers win. So from a PRO standpoint. So, yes, I would agree. It can feel overwhelming. I think once people get the basic understanding, which you do an incredible job of, you know, breaking down in this course, in many ways, it becomes very routine. Once you write a song, you know, you learn how to do this. So, guys, I would encourage you to pick this course up. No matter where you're at in your songwriting journey, it's 9 sessions long. It's worth every penny. I promise you, you're going to walk away going, okay, now I feel more comfortable on this side of it. Again, she breaks down. We didn't even get into like copywriting and what all that is. And I mean, and furthermore of other licenses and all this stuff, she goes in depth. So, let me encourage you guys to go to the website. Now you partnered with Chrissy Nordoff on this, right?
Yeah. So the course really came out of, just Chrissy and I writing with each other in the last year. And, you know, our really good friend Daniel Goss introduced us, and mm-hmm. I kind of crashed a write with them, and then it led to other things. And kind of, we, you know, in the industry, it's kind of like you and I, you just know somebody after a while, you just meet, you're in the same rooms, you're at retreats together. And, you know, the relationship just kind of grew from there, and being in the writing room. And, you know, she sat down and kind of did the same. We did a podcast Q&A, and about an hour after we turned the Q&A off, it was kind of like, well, there's something here, you know, and she's great. She has the Brave Worship community, and I've written with a lot of those women throughout the years and heard their questions. Kind of just, you know, after a while as a producer, you just hear people's questions. So we listened, you know, we gathered everything together, put in 12 years of admin work and many, many years of writing experience for just being in the rooms, took everyone's questions. We opened up questions for a while with the Brave crew and just went through all of those so we could sort everything out. So this course could be really just better utilized by everyone on every level. So, yeah.
Well, Chrissy's a friend. She was on the show last season and she, you know, she talked about her writing worship book. And so this is a falling underneath that family. This is the writing worship song administration course. And so we love Chrissy and Eric over there doing some amazing things with all of this. So again, let me encourage you guys to go check this out. And in fact, Holly's been so nice to be able to offer a little discount code for all of you listeners out there. So if you go to, chrissynordoff.com/songadmin, and then you can read more about the course, check out some previews about it. And read, like I said, read more about it. But if you enter the code SONGCAPTURE, it's all one word, SONGCAPTURE, she'll give you $50 off the course, which thank you for doing that. That's a huge thing for our listeners. I'll also link a direct link with the code already put in the show notes for you guys to check out. But Holly, you've been amazing. Thank you for 12 years of just paying attention to how to do this to help answer a lot of questions for us. I know it's been trial by fire and a lot of, you know, experience to get to this, but this is going to be huge for every songwriter. And no matter what genre they write, whether it's worship or pop or film and TV, as I said at the top, it's the knowledge of the business of songwriting that can often get left behind. And it's good to just know that. So thanks so much for jumping on today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's been fun, man.
All right, there you have it. A lot of information today. Go back and listen to this episode more than once and check your notes, take more notes. This is probably the biggest thing that I get questions about as a songwriter, as a producer, artist that I work with. How do I administrate my songs? How do I do copyright? So again, this is tools in your belt that you need to know as a songwriter. Don't expect someone else to do it for you. Have this knowledge in your belt to do it yourself. Again, go check out the course at chrissynordoff.com/songadmin. Use the promo code SONGCAPTURE, all one word, to save yourself $50. I've been going through this course. I've learned a lot already. Some of it I already knew. Some of it I was like, wow, did not know that. So no matter where you're at in your songwriting journey, I encourage you to go check out this course. You will learn something. One more time, be sure to check us out at mysongcapture.com for all your demo production needs in the worship arena. So glad you're with us. Another episode coming very soon. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you soon.